and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with a short list of candidates to replace James Comey as head of the FBI and speak with Harry Litman, a former United States attorney and deputy assistant attorney general, about his article at the Los Angeles Times, "Don't Worry, the FBI Won't Give Up the Russia Investigation," and whether Trump will be able to appoint a partisan lackey to shut down the Russia investigation. With Senator Graham suggesting Trump's choice of a politician would be unwise, we'll look into the possibility that Senator Cornyn and Congressman Mike Rogers might not be chosen, given the narrow margin that Trump has in the Senate to get his nominee approved. But the problem is that Trump is surrounded by inexperienced sycophants who are incapable of giving seasoned and sober advice to this erratic and adolescent president. Trump will likely not choose someone with credibility, meaning that if he were to be proven innocent, a not guilty verdict would not be believed. Then we'll examine the mind-boggling revelation from the Washington Post that Trump revealed highly classified information to the Russian foreign minister and ambassador that was provided by a U.S. partner in an intelligence-sharing arrangement that is considered the most highly classified sensitive information that the U.S. does not even share with close allies. A former CIA veteran, Robert Baer, a best-selling author who is now the national security analyst on CNN, joins us to discuss the possibility that Trump is either a reckless and dangerous incompetent or the Manchurian candidate. Then finally, we will look into the Belt and Road Forum that has just concluded in Beijing and assess the extent to which China is eclipsing the U.S. as a global leader following the Trump administration's withdrawal from the TPP and its reversals on climate change and clean energy. The editor of the ASEAN Forum, Gilbert Rosman, a professor of sociology at Princeton University specializing in societies in China, Japan, Korea, and Russia, joins us to discuss the makings of China's new world order. And joining us now is Harry Litman, who's a former United States attorney and deputy assistant attorney general, who currently teaches at UCLA Law School and practices law at Constantine Cannon. He has an op-ed at the Los Angeles Times, "Don't Worry, the FBI Won't Give Up the Russia Investigation." Welcome to Background Briefing, Harry Litman.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And if are you operating on optimism or realism here? Because I think that Donald Trump seems to be quite determined to shut this Russian investigation down. Apparently, it drives him crazy. He has tantrums about it, and that may well have been why he fired Comey. At least that's the reports from both the New York Times and Politico. That he was just watching TV and just exploded.
And another cable TV related incident with the president. Right. Am I operating on optimism or realism? I see this in two ways, Ian. It'd be as a matter of the sort of investigation and the actual operations that the FBI agents will now undertake. I'm optimistic in the sense that I don't think it's plausible that that will be shut down or seriously impeded. The worry would be that the investigation itself might be starved of resources, so that the very committed FBI agents on the job wouldn't have enough to do a full job. I see that as unlikely on balance. That could happen. It might be something that Trump would want to see happen. It might be something that a handpicked FBI director of his might want to see happen. But it's ultimately would have to go through the Department of Justice, the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. And I think that it is more likely than not that they will see it as essential, that the investigation is robustly supported, and that it won't. It's not just the on the ground agents who will be focused and supportive, but the brass at DOJ, and that means that notwithstanding Trump's best efforts, they won't be able to shut it down. That's the thrust of my op-ed.
Well, the Deputy U.S. Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, he's going to be in a classified briefing on Thursday. Apparently, we know that a lot of Democrats are very unhappy with him. And a lot of colleagues I've seen commenting on television who've known him and have praised his neutrality are very disturbed by what happened. My sense is...
Yeah, I'm one of those colleagues. Uh-huh. I found it pretty surprising, and it seemed as if the White House was looking to exploit the sort of bipartisan neutrality of the Department of Justice. It gets worse when you consider something that apparently Rosenstein wasn't told, but the president has since revealed, which is that he had already decided to fire Comey. So in that setting, to call in Sessions and Rosenstein and ask for a briefing paper, the obvious intent would be to exploit the neutrality and the professional reputation of the Department of Justice to justify a prearranged political end. That's pretty bad.
Well, in your article at the Los Angeles Times, Harry Littman, don't worry, the FBI won't give up the Russia investigation. You mentioned comparisons to Watergate. I actually spoke yesterday with Alexander Butterfield, who revealed a taping system that eventually brought down Richard Nixon. And we talked about the comparisons, which he thinks were overblown, particularly with the Saturday Night Massacre, where the Attorney General quit and then the Deputy Attorney General quit, but then the Solicitor General, Robert Bork, stepped up. And that would be my question and my concern is, isn't there always a Robert Bork in government?
Well, yeah. So the short answer to that would be yes. If Trump begins to go down the line of the responsible officials of the Department of Justice and fire first Rod Rosenstein and then Rachel Brand and then continue or require of them some action that an honorable official like as happened in the Saturday Night Massacre would have to resist and resign, that you could reach a place where there's someone who's willing to do the deed. And in fact, as a legal matter, it would be doable. But as was the case in the Saturday Night Massacre, and I'm sort of with Butterfield in thinking it's not completely opposite here, but as it was the case there, the political cost would be hellacious. And you've got a president here who's got something of a knife's edge of operating room in the U.S. Senate. If two or three or four Republican senators, as was the case with Nixon eventually, come out and insist on some kind of independence and balk at the nakedly political efforts to eviscerate the Department of Justice, he's in trouble. So that's what I meant when I said in the article that he's wading into truly dangerous waters. There's the legal setting. Can he do certain things? Yeah. But there's the political setting and what will happen if certain officials who have the power, for instance, to appoint an independent prosecutor, go ahead and act, or if certain Republican senators abandon him, then it's really anybody's guess.
And again, I'm speaking with Harry Littman, who's a former United States Attorney and Deputy Assistant Attorney General, who currently teaches at UCLA Law School and practices law at Constantine Cannon. He has an op-ed at the Los Angeles Times, "Don't Worry, the FBI Won't Give Up the Russia Investigation." Now, you mentioned the Senate and the narrow margin that the Republicans have. Already, Senator Lindsey Graham has suggested that it would not be wise of Trump to pick, of the candidates to replace Comey, to pick one of, I think there are two of them that are politicians. He said a politician under normal circumstances would not necessarily be a bad choice, but under the current circumstances, it would not be wise. So, and he went on to praise his colleague, as they always do, my good friend and learned gentleman, Senator Cornyn. Yeah. And then the other guy, of course, is Congressman Mike Rogers, who the FBI Association, the union, for want of a better description, think is a good choice. So what does that tell us? That already, that would seem to me that that's one senator who's firing a warning shot.
I think that's right. And, you know, Senator McCain might be in a similar position. And you've had a couple senators come out and express grave hesitation about this sort of thuggish insinuation by the president that he has tapes on Comey and said, you know, if you do, you've got to produce them. And I think there will be a subpoena that will be arriving for them, and it'll be, he'll either have to put up or shut up on that, probably. But this is, again, I resisted the comparisons with Watergate, which I thought were too easily reached. But this is one way in which it was apt. What eventually brought Nixon down is when the, three or four kind of senior statesmen among the Republican Senate walked up the Hill and said to him, you know, Mr. President, you can't do this. And then his support had eroded, and he knew that he would, in fact, be convicted in the Senate if he were to be impeached. So they've got to be operating very carefully. And it's tricky because, you know, a normal White House, there would be the White House counsel and different counselors who would be very carefully, the chief of staff, evaluating all of these things, calibrating it, trying to have back channel conversations with the senators. Here, by all indications, at least in the Comey case, you have an impulsive president who, without going through these sorts of normal channels, just pulled the trigger. And if he makes those sorts of rash decisions, for instance, the decision to come out in a tweet and say, Comey better help, hope I don't have tapes, you know, he could be really threatening him, you know, shooting himself in all limbs.
Well, you mentioned the possibility, and he's certainly not on the eight. I think there's eight candidates that have been announced, and I believe they were interviewed over the weekend by the Attorney General Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General. But you mentioned the former Deputy Attorney General Mark Philip. He's not on the list, but why do you think he'd be a good choice?
Well, he's a classic stand-up guy. He's a former judge, and he was the Deputy Attorney General, so he really knows the department. He was an assistant U.S. attorney on important investigations for many years, so he really knows the Bureau and knows the inner workings of the department. There are others. Former Deputy Attorney General George Terwilliger might be in a similar setting. But you really, really need and want someone who has, you know, institutional support and knowledge within the department and the Bureau. I would also tend to doubt that Mike Rogers, even notwithstanding the vote of support he got from former agents, would fit that description, because he was a political actor on behalf of the Trump campaign during the campaign. So just a guy like Philip is just a total professional and no one would doubt his bona fides, and you would just know. Look, there's a possibility at the end of the day that the investigation doesn't lead anywhere. And if that happens, it's in Trump's interest, among others, that the person who's announcing that has the credibility within the department, but within the broader political set context, to have people trust that it's a straight up decision on the merits. If it feels like a whitewash, it will dog him for the balance of his presidency. So a guy like Mark Philip would be unimpeachable in terms of his doing things on the merits. That's the main criterion that I had in mind.
But he's not on the list, and so let's.
True. I've read, you know, the list. You know how these things work, Ian. Mm-hmm. There's just these people generate their own kinds of rumor mills, and it's sort of develops its own kind of momentum. I have read him on the list, but I think you're right that he's not one of the eight who were interviewed over the weekend. Now, Fran Townsend is. And I think she's got a pretty not just solid professional reputation, but also the real sense of the knowledge of the department and the bureau, which will be critical. There are certainly people on the list who I think would be terrible choices. So,
well, let's go through them. The two judges seem to me to be very partisan. Who did you have in mind that would be terrible?
Well, the Senator Corwin was the first person that came to mind, and then Mike Rogers, I think, is really flawed here, notwithstanding his experience as a former agent, which would otherwise have stood him in good stead.
Well, I mentioned the two judges. They seem pretty partisan, aren't they? I mean, Andrew McKay.
Judge Garcia, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, the former U.S. attorney. I don't want to try to give grades to the different candidates,
okay,
except to say that what is really needed here is above all two things: a real institutional credibility within the Department of Justice and the Bureau, and then an unimpeachable reputation for calling it straight and being above the political fray. That's something that you could take Comey to task. I did. I thought what he did with the Clinton emails was a firing offense, but nobody could dispute that he had the proven ability. He had done it to stand up to the president and make calls on the merits, on the facts and the law, and that quality above all is going to be paramount.
Well, I would think that Andrew McCabe, who would be a natural choice, the fact that he's contradicted Trump publicly would probably count against him, right?
Well, it's interesting what's going to come. This is the point that I mentioned, where normally you would have people in the room who would be able to counteract the kind of immaturity of the president and say, "Look, you need to have some people who have qualities that are not going to thrill you. Otherwise, you're going to for your own political." Status, you're going to need that, and that might include that. This was the reason that Obama picked Comey when he did pick Comey. Comey was probably a Republican, and his experience was not within was not someone who would have normally commended himself to a Democratic president, but he had the unimpeachable standing for people to understand. To know of him as an independent actor. That's who they need now.
Right.
And that I presumably people were in the room at the time with Obama saying, Comey might not be your number one person, but he's what you need. Of course, that happened I forget now whether Clinton inherited Louis Freeh or chose him, but Free, as a former judge and FBI agent, had that kind of reputation. Then he wound up making quite a bit of heartache for President Clinton. This person is going to have the power to make real trouble for the president. But if you choose someone who doesn't have the power, who people know will act first to support or protect the president, it's going to be not just a political disaster. I mean, we're really at a point here. I hear the comparisons to Watergate are apposite. We begin to be in a real political crisis, not just a crisis of political culture if a lackey is nominated to the FBI. It's really a moment of crisis for the American political system, and I think some of the Republican senators recognize that. It's just critical beyond the issues of partisan politics for the system to be able to show it can, clean its own house, because they've dirtied things quite a bit.
Well, The Economist had a meeting, or several of the journalists from The Economist had a meeting at the White House last week during the time of this, And the reporting from them is alarming. I'm hoping to talk to the bureau chief at some point soon if I can. He described the atmosphere in the Oval Office as completely like the court of the Tudor kings, Henry VIII, with sycophants and retainers and all kinds of people wandering in and out. And even the bodyguard weighing in his opinions and the sycophant.
What about that bodyguard in this whole episode? Yeah. He looks to be one of the three or four most important people in government.
Right.
I had never heard of the guy.
Right. Yeah. And then you got the Secretary of the Treasury, this incredible sycophant from out here who kicked a bunch of people out of their homes. He's apparently a cheerleader, too. I mean, that. You don't have, it doesn't sound like you have people around there that are sober, that he can either talk to him. We know that the poor press guy can't even contradict him. The first press conference he had to lie about the size of the crowd at the inaugurations.
That's right.
It's pathetic.
And so this is the immediate circle around the president, which makes it all the more important if the system is going to be, you know, vindicated and this incipient crisis is going to be avoided, that the broader institutions of good government, that would include the senators from the president's own party, would include especially the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Department of Justice, if they, in this kind of setting, can't step up and do things according to the facts and the law, then you're right, there's nothing to counteract what is at best dysfunctional and at worst corrupt in setting within the Oval Office.
Well, just in closing, Harry Littman, you mentioned that this could be in Trump's favor if he had a respected person in there that was neutral and bipartisan and objective and credible, that if he were to be exonerated, then people would believe it. But if a lackey exonerates him, nobody's going to believe it. But he has never behaved like an aggrieved, innocent man from day one with this Russian story. I mean, he's always been peculiarly defensive, and even up till recently, at the very time that Comey gets fired, he meets with the Russians in the White House, one of whom is the top spy, Kislyak, who turns up in all of these meetings that's gotten all of his people in trouble, like Flynn and Sessions. It was surreal.
So I hear you. I tend to agree, especially if the broader investigation is not simply about the campaign, but potentially the whole financial dealings between the Trump Organization and Russian entities over the course of the last 10 years. On the other hand, you know, by any account, he's a very thin-skinned man. You could imagine a state of affairs where there are things that he's done that are questionable but not criminal, and it's the job of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to say if there's nothing criminal there, then to close up shop. But of course, you're right. If there's, you know, a lot of fire where the smoke is, then the imperative for him becomes to save his office and not go to jail. So my supposition depends, in the first instance, you're right, on what the state of affairs is with respect to, you know, his potential liability.
Well, Harry Littman, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
And again, I've been speaking with Harry Littman, who's a former United States Attorney and Deputy Assistant Attorney General, who currently teaches at UCLA Law School and practices law at Constantine Cannon. He has an op-ed at the Los Angeles Times. Don't worry, the FBI won't give up the Russia investigation. We're going to take a brief station break and back examining the mind-boggling revelation from the Washington Post that Trump revealed highly classified information to the Russian foreign minister and ambassador.